I see you, you see me. Watch you blowing the lines when you're making a scene. Oh girl, you've got to know what my head overlooks. The senses will show to my heart when it's watching for lies, and you can't escape my private.
Hi, and welcome to Generation Goat number 23. I'm John Martin from ShListen.com and SongsToSaveYourLife.com, and with me is E. Christopher Clark, GeekForce5.com. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. Hey, that's how it's done.
That's how it's done, son.
How simple is that? And I never managed to get it right.
One take.
Thank you very much. So, what's been going on?
What hasn't been going on? I don't know, man. I think like everybody else we know, I've been living my life in Google Plus lately, which is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And actually, I should point out this morning, this is like my way of holding up the newspaper to prove the date.
Right.
Apparently this morning, Mark Zuckerberg has quit Google Plus because of privacy concerns. He doesn't want to be tracked.
That's Mark Zuckerberg. Quit Google Plus out of privacy concerns.
This is the guy who came up with Facebook Beacon, which would track you on any site you went to anywhere at all times. Quit Google Plus, probably quite possibly the most private or privacy-oriented social network, because he doesn't want to be tracked.
You know who else I think quit? I'm not entirely sure if he quit is Neil Gaiman. I was following him, and now all of a sudden, he shows up as an email only, icon instead of being part of the thing. So you can technically, email him, but his updates don't show up. So I thought, you know, he seemed like he was giving it a try, and then maybe, I don't know what.
Actually, there's a note now on his about page which says, "This is me, not using this much yet. Twitter at Neil himself is a better way of finding out where I am and what I'm doing." I think probably a lot of these people, well, not Zuck, because Zuckerberg, I think, just did it for publicity. But I don't know. They're rolling out pages, you know, for public officials and brands and businesses and whatnot eventually, and those will have better ways for those people to filter their contacts and to have better privacy. So I think that that's probably where people like Neil have gone for a little while.
Yeah, maybe I might even just have the wrong thing set up there, but yeah, I do think it's a very it's a very cool site. I've seen the people that I'm in circles with, because that's the big Google Plus innovation, is
right,
is the ability to sort of group people into circles and share things on a, like as you said, it's very privacy oriented. So
yeah.
If I want to share things just with people from high school, I can do that. Just with people from the theater that I work at, I can do that.
And you can also disable resharing of your posts outside of your circles, which is kind of nice as well.
Mm-hmm. And most of the feedback I've seen has been overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
There are a lot of people in the circles that I follow that are anxious to give up Facebook and see this as an alternative. And then there are the few, and I'm not ever quite sure what to say to them, who are just wondering if it's going to be just one more place for them to have to check out.
Right.
And so, I mean, what do you say to that?
I mean, it's kind of the price of being online sometimes, is that, you know, at a certain point I had Facebook and then I had Twitter. And for a little period of time before both of those, I had that MySpace thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got a blog and I've got another blog and I've got email, and it does get very expansive. I think probably one of the things that people do now quite well. There was, you know, eventually you learn to consolidate.
Yeah.
You learn how to make your Twitter and Facebook status the same, you know, and actually there are already extensions popping up where you can post straight from Google Plus to Facebook.
Right.
And it's complicated. And I think what people need to do, I think what anybody should do is decide, well, how do I want to communicate? Why am I using these tools? If I have the same people on Facebook and the same people on Google Plus, then clearly one of them is superfluous.
Right.
You know, and that's really the way to go. I mean, I have people who are Twitter only right now because mm-hmm. of I meet them at conferences or whatever. That's just how they roll. But
yeah. As
I'm getting them on Google Plus and I'm noticing some of them are posting the exact same content, I'm just simply removing them from Twitter.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, makes them sad of their numbers, but I'm reading their content. So it's
right.
I think it gets easier when people get more aware of just what they're sharing and with whom, and the fact that they don't need to be redundant across platforms. Now, if you're a website or a brand, that's your thing, is being redundant across platforms, but that's another kettle of fish.
Yeah. Well, and that kettle of fish has come up in terms of a couple of conversations I've seen happen regarding how conversations about content that we're producing are happening increasingly away from our sites.
Away from the content, yeah.
So, like, you know, I'll post something on my blog and somebody is, under some of the arguments that I've seen, you know, people are feeling like, well, somebody's more likely to talk about that on Twitter or more likely to talk about it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And how do I get people back to my site to talk about this stuff? And I've kind of embraced the idea of, well, as long as they're talking about what I'm producing, it doesn't really matter where they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I mean, it's, you know, the idea that, like, you're creating an ambient awareness of your site, you know, that it's part of, I guess, the zeitgeist, as it were. And if people are talking about it enough over on this site over here,
yeah,
then inevitably some of those people will say, oh, I should go look at that, you know, and that's how everything works. I mean, eventually I see enough links to Mashable come by and I'm like, well, what is that? And I go look at it, you know, and it's, some ways I think that is the nature of a brand, I mean, is to be a social component that is ubiquitous and, you know, an abstract notion is actually far more powerful than a concrete notion. You know, if I'm aware that there's a very specific type of part for my car,
right,
great, if I need it. But if I'm aware that there's a very specific class of parts for my car, I'm more interested, you know,
yeah.
Oh, what are those things? So it's, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. I feel the same way. Like, if people are just aware of what I do and it might facilitate other discussion, then I've kind of done my job. That was the point of a blog to start with. So.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you know, here we are doing a podcast, which, you know, is theoretically to raise awareness for our stuff. And
listened to by tens of people. So.
Tens of people, yeah. you know, and I've toyed with the idea of opening a Tumblr and reposting via RSS over there, because Tumblr seems like a place where there's tons of sharing going on.
But you're not a 12-year-old girl.
I do realize.
I kid. But actually, like, I do 8 tracks for the mixtapes, and like everybody on there that you click on their account has a Tumblr account.
The Tumblr,
and they're always like high school age girls who are posting pictures of, like, you know, cute stuff from movies. And right. I'm just like, well, this is nice, I guess, but I don't know. If I set up an account here, am I going to have to register on a list somewhere? Like, am I going to be in trouble? Like,
you're not going to be able to, to go within 20 feet of.
Right. I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not allowed to do this. It feels like signing up for a Girl Scout troop. Maybe there are a lot of other Tumblrs out there that I have not yet encountered. I don't know. It's an odd platform.
Did you ever
know
any Girl Scouts growing up?
Speaking of Girl Scouts, I guess I did. Yeah,
I try to think about it, and I don't know that I knew any. I'm sure that
Diana,
I did.
Diana was a Girl Scout.
So Diana was a Girl Scout. Okay, so I know / knew Diana. So okay, there's one.
Tracy.
I'm aware of
Girl Scout.
What that?
Tracy
Girl. Was. Okay. All right. Well, that answers that question. Stephanie was not a Girl Scout. Stephanie was in 4-H, but I did not.
Wow. Does she know what all four of those H's are? Because I sure don't.
I don't know if she knows.
Does she like do the livestock competitions?
I think yes. Yeah, she raised pigs.
Wow. Well, that explains why she found an interest in you. Snap.
Thanks, man.
I'm here all week. Tip your waiters. I'm looking on their Wikipedia page right now, and I have no idea what the 4 H's are.
4 H's are. Somebody needs to rewrite that Wikipedia page. Obviously, that's the number one thing.
Like, you would think that would be right at the head, but it's not.
Horticulture.
Oh, wait, here it is. Here it is. Snap. Head, heart, hands, and health.
Head, heart, hands, and help?
Yep. The 4 personal development areas of focus for the organization.
Now, before you become a Girl Scout, you're a brownie, right?
Yeah, and there's something else too, I think.
Oh, is there something in the middle? Before you're a Boy Scout, you're a Cub Scout, but in between there's and this rank or whatever you want to call it. We had a conversation with my filth-minded father and uncle at 4th of July, where they debated about how you pronounce that middle step between Cub Scout and Boy Scout.
It's really important to draw out one of the middle syllables and to make it weebelows.
Weebelows. Okay, so you draw out the B.
You gotta do it.
You gotta draw out the B or else, yeah. I mean, there's nothing all that controversial about brownies. I'm sure that people who shouldn't be within 20 feet of little girls could probably think of something with the brownie name. But Weeblos seems like every time I have a conversation about Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, which is usually at the 4th of July parade when there's 5, 7, however many troops in the parade. Whenever I have that conversation, somebody makes a snicker like with a Beavis and Butthead kind of and talks about Weeblos.
The Girl Scouts are way more stratified, apparently. Apparently, if you're ages 5 to 7, you can be a Daisy.
A Daisy.
And then 6 to 9, you can be a Brownie.
Uh-huh.
And then from 9 to 11, you're a Junior. From 11 to 14, you're a Cadet. And from 14 to 16, you're a Senior.
Mm.
And then apparently there are Girl Scout ambassadors, which are somehow after that, 16 to 18, and then adult members of Girl Scouts, which have all kinds of other crazy names.
So are there
anything that complicated? Although we do have the Order of the Arrow, which
There's the Order of the Arrow, but are there ranks in the way that there's no?
I do not know. It does not seem that way from this article.
So you move up in rank and as a Girl Scout just by virtue of how old you are, whereas I was never able to get past first class because I couldn't swim well.
Damn.
That was one thing. I mean, I probably had enough badges and whatever to advance up the ranks, but I could not get past. What's after first class?
Star, then heart, then eagle.
Yeah, I couldn't get past star. I couldn't get to star because I couldn't swim well. So, man, I wish I'd been a Girl Scout instead.
Yeah.
Move right up there, you know?
Well, I guess you could apply.
I do wonder whether or not
my
girls would get involved in something like that or the 4-H. I mean, 4-H would be hard. We don't have any land.
You don't have any pigs.
Yeah, we don't have any pigs. No cats, no dogs.
Cows. Cows are also a big part of that. Horses. That's an H.
So, there. You know, and my older daughter, Kaylee, is a TV zombie and now an iPad zombie.
I think in general, in principle, it's a good idea because, like, kids need to socialize and they
learn
new skills and they go new places.
Right.
And most importantly, they get out of the damn house and you can, like, be alone. But that's coming from someone who really doesn't want kids around the house. So,
No, I understand. There are days when, I mean, during the summer, Stephanie and the girls are home on Mondays and it's impossible to get anything done. It just, there's no door on my office. I constantly struggle with, like, should I be downstairs and being part of the family or should I?
I don't think you can do that every single day. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are days when you have to just do stuff. I think maybe what you should do, if you're not going to get a door for the office, which would be hard, is just invest in horror movie props and just leave them at the top of the stairs.
You know, and that might work. Kaylee is scared by just about anything, whereas Melody is not scared by anything.
Well, you can fix that.
Yeah. You know, clowns and.
Yeah. That's it. Just get an evil clown. Pay one of your deadbeat friends, you know, someone who like really needs work but never does much, to dress up as an evil clown and
Are you volunteering?
Yeah. I'm just saying. I think I could do it. I'd have some problems because Nora doesn't like clowns either, but
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I would try to explain that like this is just work and you know, there we go.
What the heck is the name of that? Speaking of clowns, you have a problem with clowns?
No, I'm fine with clowns. I mean, wasn't a fan of like Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but few are.
There was let's see if I can even dig the name of this thing up. They talked about it on our friends over at the Waysiders,
Waysiders.
They talked about this. One of the 48-hour film project films from this year was called, oh, what the hell was it called? It's not up here. But it was about a clown, and I want to say it was probably from Wicked Sick Films. And the clown basically shows up at random places throughout the house, and you don't see him, or the person in the scene doesn't see him, but
Sure.
It's creepy and hilarious, and I'm still trying. I'm just watch me buying time as I try to find it. TikTok Death Clock. There we go.
Okay.
You can find it on YouTube, and it is probably one of the better ones that was there. These guys and one other team are always the reason that the team that I usually work with, Purple Finch Moving Picture Society, never wins, because these other guys produce things that are just like one step beyond the cool stuff that we put out. But if you're afraid of clowns, and you don't want to sleep tonight,
there you go. Just get a second monitor, put it at the top of the stairs, and run that video on a loop.
That's not a bad idea. TikTok Death Clock.
I mean, you know, you might have to outlay a bit of money for the monitor, but think of all the peace and quiet you'll have.
That's true. This
Of
is true.
course, there might be stuff to clean up, depending on how excitable your children are.
Well, I almost went someplace I'm not supposed to go. We were talking beforehand about
Right.
children who wet themselves.
Not Chris's children. We were talking about other children.
Yes, about other children who wet themselves in public places.
Well, straight along now.
Moving straight along, yeah.
Yeah,
So,
so Google Plus has been really cool. And the
yeah.
best thing for me is watching people play with the Hangouts. And
Mm.
like, if people aren't familiar with the Hangout, like basically it's a video chat which works for up to 10 people. And what you do on your profile is you say, I'm going to start a Hangout. And then, you know, you can describe it if you want to. And anybody who sees it, who's allowed to see it, can come along and click. And then you're talking and hanging out. And it's kind of like a nice impromptu thing.
Yeah.
But some people, like your friend John Herman, he started a game show,
Yes.
which is so genius. And his
He
sister
did.
started a yoga class, which apparently went really well. And I've already seen other kinds of things like that, and we have some ideas for stuff we could
Right.
theoretically do, including possibly, potentially, an episode of this podcast.
Right.
That's right, RT. You could come and be on our podcast.
That's right.
So.
And, you know, I mean, right now we use Skype, which is fine. I mean, Skype is easy enough to use. Even an idiot like me can do
But
it.
now Facebook uses Skype, so.
Right. So, you know, let's move over to Google.
Tracked.
I like that there's an art. Well, I like that there's an artificial limit. Obviously, that's going to keep the servers online and whatever.
Yeah.
You can hang out with up to 9 other people, so for a total of 10.
Yeah.
I actually have ideas for resurrecting my Geek Force 5 cast as a show that would have guests. I would like to artificially limit it to 5, but I don't
Yeah.
think there's any way to do that, aside from what we talked about, which is you can share that you're hanging out with just a specific circle. And so if I knew in advance who the 4 people I wanted to be on would be, I'd put them in there.
Which you could do. I mean, you'd obviously have to set it up with them in advance anyway. So,
Yeah.
yeah. I think it'd be quite cool. I mean, I'm hoping at some point, because some of them, you know, some of them have natural large audiences, like Frances Haugen, who's one of the Google people that's been very active. She's the profile manager, you know, had a hangout the other day where people could come and share their opinions. And a lot of people were saying in the stream, you know, it'd be nice if we could just watch, even if we can't be there.
Right.
And I think at some point that that will be something that we see come into the hangouts. You know, I think
yeah,
I heard a couple of Google people make that comment. So,
yeah, I mean, and it seems like they are open about what kind of feedback they've gotten and
yeah,
the fact that they're going to be implementing some changes relatively soon.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting network. And I think based on the what I've seen with it so far and the people that I've seen embracing it, it seems like it could be a very nice replacement for Facebook. I think Twitter's an entirely different thing.
Right.
But maybe I'll be proven wrong there too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Twitter still has its niche. You know, it's still very quick, very flexible communication. And I mean, I think its hashtagging feature particularly makes it something that is easily reproduced, because it's still something that you don't have to know anybody. You just have to know there's a hashtag, and you can easily get information. Whereas the nature of circles, I think, is such that it's targeted communication.
Yeah.
So I think one is definitely meant to be your private network, and one is definitely meant to be your public face. And I mean, Google Plus has the ability to make public posts.
Right.
You know, there's, I think that that's the less emphasized aspect of its nature. So,
yeah. It'll be interesting to see it develop. I hope that it doesn't fizzle. I mean, there have been other Google things that I feel like there have been a lot of...
Apparently it's over 10 million users already, and something like 2 million people joined on Monday.
Yeah. So I mean, it's exciting. It's certainly more people than joined Buzz or joined... what was the...
Wave.
Wave.
Well, at a certain point, I mean, it will reach, you know... I mean, I think if it keeps going, it's going to reach a certain mass where there will be enough people in the system bringing in new people and sharing with existing members that it would ever actually go away again.
Yeah, I mean, what I look forward to potentially, I want to see them, I would love to see them do more with integrating, or maybe they already have and I just need to figure it out, integrating Picasa, which is their Google's photo sharing site. And I've never been able to talk my mom into joining Facebook. Maybe that's for the best. But I feel like with circles and things like that, I could definitely get family members into something like Google Plus and share the photos that right now I'm paying to store over on Flickr, and share specifically. So like there are family ones. And right now, I mean, I love Flickr, and I love what it's done for me. I've got everything up there for a pretty small price per year. But I have to do all these kind of wonky things to share specific segments of photos with other people.
Well, I use Picasa with Google, and wow, this is a great pop culture podcast.
But we're not always pop culture. I think one of the things that's good about us is that sometimes it's tech.
I use Picasa, actually. I started using it a couple weeks ago. And the nice thing, you know, I think about Google Plus is that when you sign up, it says, hey, you have Picasa photos. Don't worry, we're not going to share them with any new people. They're still shared with only who you shared them with. Mm. And you can go into your album and you can say, share it with these people. And usually the sharing is done by email. You know, it's right. Them the link and they can click on it. But then they always have access, you know, as it were. And I think it would be fairly trivial if you had family in a circle to quickly add them to an album and then say, okay. And you can check a box that says, whenever I add stuff to this, it's also visible to these people. So, you know, you can make like one album that's your family album and it would never have to change. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's pretty straightforward.
It's integration, Plus's integration with all of Google's other things is really cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, one of the things that we were talking about yesterday was the fact that YouTube could be integrated into a Hangout.
YouTube videos sync between users, so you actually have simultaneous playback, which is quite cool.
Yeah, so I mean, aside from the fact that it seems like they're doing everything a little bit better than Facebook's doing everything, they also have all these other cool products that integrate right into it.
Yeah. So it's pretty exciting. It's been cool. So yeah. To answer your question, what's been going on? I've been wasting my time with Google Plus. and can I just say that it's hilarious that MySpace Tom is like one of the most popular users.
Yes. When I went to the New Hampshire Media Makers meetup on a Sunday, and I think that was when John Herman, the aforementioned, was all about how Tom was one of the most interesting people to follow because.
And thank God he's still using the same picture because it would just it would blow my mind if he had
if he had a different picture. Yeah. How would you know it was him?
I know, but sorry, that photo only belongs to one man.
You know, like. The fact that he was automatically our friend when we joined on MySpace, but that we all seek him out as someone on Google Plus is a really interesting transition.
I think it's a testament to the fact that despite the fact that the internet is always changing and despite the fact that people often tout the fact that it's always changing as a great thing, that people still like continuity.
Yeah.
And having MySpace Tom as your friend nearly a decade later is... I don't know. There's a traditional element to that in a fashion, you know, in a way that, you know, I think that's, yeah, I think people who used MySpace quite heavily back in the day are quite embarrassed about it now, but they also have sort of fond memories, whereas apparently, you know, about as many people like Facebook as like the IRS.
Right.
And you'll notice that nobody wants to be Zuck's friend over there.
Yes.
So I think it's, yeah, I think there's something telling in that. I don't know. I think I wonder sometimes recently if, you know, the fact that Google doesn't have that person, you know, as it were, but if that actually means anything or not for the longevity of the network. But that's just me being strange, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was just in you talking about that. I have very fond memories of GeoCities, but I can't peg any one particular person that was the person there.
Yeah.
I know I can't. I couldn't name you. I want to say it's Katarina Fake, but maybe not. Like the person who would be most identified by early adopters with Flickr. There's somebody. There's somebody over there. But in some of these cases, I think maybe that there's someone we just don't know who it is.
Yeah.
And they aren't really on. Nobody's really on the level of Tom because MySpace was so big.
Yeah. You know? The great thing about Tom, though, is that he spends a lot of his time apparently curating content, which is something that's really easy to do. In Google Plus as well, like your friend Leslie said, oh, I'm going to have a list for foodies, you know, a circle for foodies. So if you want to be on it, just let me know. Right. And so she's just sharing with that circle, you know, and like I could conceivably, although this is not the way Google Plus is meant to be used right now, I could conceivably make a circle of just people who want to know about my blog and then I could make blog posts to them. But it's really nice in that way. I mean, you know, if you're the kind of person who has, like, good work friends, but then casual work friends,
right?
You know, you can easily separate the two, which is it's nice.
And it's from the viewpoint of the person who's being shared to,
right?
They are not aware of what circle they're in.
Yeah, you could call them complete jackasses.
And they're only going to see... You know, as long as they're seeing things from you every once in a while, there's no reason for them to be like, oh, why aren't you, you know, why aren't I seeing things from you? The one thing that I've run into in terms of not really a criticism, but is seeing the same stuff reshared a whole bunch. And so
I think that will get better as the algorithm gets more sophisticated. Like, I think right now it's in a. Let's just tell you about everything that you're allowed to know about. And I think eventually it will recognize. Okay, that post is a reshare of that post. I will show one of them, you know, and say this person reshared it.
Yeah, I hope so, because I mean, I think that's really the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. You know, the stream for a while was just throwing stuff up in a non-chronological way.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, why is July 6th on top when this post is from July 13th down here? What the hell?
Right.
July 10th or whatever. But that's largely gone away, and so I think they're still making refinements, but that stuff will get better. Right now, I'm just happy that the kinds of content that's being shared has nothing to do with Farmville or any sort of zombie-related event.
Now, Google did buy, like, a game provider or something recently, right? Because one thing that I saw on a post earlier today was, you know, the big difference is you can't play Farmville, but that's bound to change. And, you know, early adopters are kind of like, no, please, no. Let's
Well, I think two things about that. I think one, when they do apps, it will probably be very easy to not see the updates.
Right.
You know, I think that if they had half a brain, they would just share the updates with people who are already playing that game and leave it, you know, which is possible. But I also think it'll be easy to filter them. But the other thing about that is that when Facebook started up, Facebook was only Facebook, and it had to raise revenue and generate lots of content to draw in advertisers. And Google doesn't necessarily have to make money off Plus. They
right.
probably would like to make money off Plus, but they don't have to do it. And they know, I think that, you know, the sense is that they understand that what they're trading on is that they're clean, private, they're not Facebook. And I think if they just reproduce the Facebook experience, then people will leave. So I think, you know, I think they seem to have a pretty good sense of the fact that, no, they're winning by giving us an alternative. So I'm not too worried about it. It'll be interesting to see how they handle brands and pages and blogs and stuff. But I think that it will be done in a way that won't be terrible. I have faith. I don't know why. They're still a big faceless company, but I feel like the people who are working on it are smart enough, you know? So
yeah.
We'll see.
So you've been playing in Google Plus.
Yep. And you've been hanging out with half naked people.
I have been hanging out with half naked. Well, we haven't gotten half naked yet. We started rehearsal
right, well,
on
next topic.
What's we started rehearsal for the show that I'm doing at my window, which goes up on September 2nd. And
be there, fools.
Yes, be there. It's gone very, 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 very well. The chemistry between me and Liz Locke, who's my co-star, is great. You know, we've been in a show that was actually a combination of shows before, which was the evening of Robot and Steampunk Theater, but we've never actually acted together before, and it came pretty naturally the first two rehearsals. So.
Cool.
That's going very well. Nobody's naked yet, but
yeah. So don't get too interested. But
yeah, no. When people get naked, you'll be the first to know.
That's right. And I'll be there in the audience with a little concealed boombox so I can play the theme from Hair.
They were talking about while we were on a break, I think the Players Ring is doing, and you can correct me, this is how they were pronouncing it, Timon of Athens?
Is that sure, why not?
All right. This happens to be how they were pronouncing it. But should it be Timon? Timon?
No, probably Timon is Timon. Fine.
Okay.
Timon might have happened at one point. Yeah.
It's not Timon of Timon and Pumbaa, though.
No. Yeah. Wow, that's a really obscure bit of Shakespeare to do.
And apparently there are lots of there's lots of nudity in that. Was the way that, well, or there might be.
Guess there could be if you want there to be.
Maybe I'm getting things mixed up because they were talking about somebody having to do lots of long monologues with his wang hanging out.
Well, I mean, people do whatever they do with Shakespeare. I mean, the Ian McKellen King Lear that was, you know, a couple years ago now, which was incredibly good. I mean, when Lear is mad in the wilderness, I mean, Ian McKellen was naked for that.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not inherent in the, I've not read the play. So
well,
not,
yeah, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be original to the production. Yeah. I think the censors in Elizabethan England would have gotten rid of that quite quickly.
Yeah. So anyway, they were talking about nudity, and I think that's the play they were talking about, but maybe not. Maybe they were talking about something else.
It's an odd choice. It's like when you find people who, you know, are putting on a production of, like, Henry VIII or Coriolanus, and you're like, really?
Yeah. What was the one that Leslie, the college, did last year? Was the one where there might be a sequel, but not really.
Three Wives of Windsor?
No. The weather's the. I should just get my. It's right here.
That's right, folks. You know what? If you tuned into this podcast hoping we talk about summer movies or music or any of that stuff, it's Google Plus and now Shakespeare.
No, because I've got to figure it out.
It's culture.
Love's Labor's Lost, right? Because there's the debate over whether there actually was a Love's Labor's One, right?
Right.
So I'm not completely insane. So Leslie did, the college did that one, and that one's not done very often, is it?
It's terrible. I mean, the clown is occasionally funny, but the plot is just ridiculous. And, oh my god, Kenneth Branagh made a movie of that? And every Branagh movie post Much Ado just sucks. I mean, Shakespeare anyway. And yeah. He made this movie of that. Matthew Lillard was the male lead, with about as much as you need to know, but Alicia Silverstone was the female lead.
There are some people who probably don't even remember who Matthew Lillard is.
He was serial killer in Hackers. Mm. I'm sure he was in SLC Punk, which was okay, but...
He was in Scream, the first one, wasn't
he? Right. But, yeah, so there's this bizarro Love's Labor's Lost, where I lost interest about 10 minutes in when they suddenly burst into song and started doing the Charleston. maybe it turned out well after that, but I was done. Anyway.
Well, all right, so yeah, Google Plus and Shakespeare. Maybe we should talk about summer movies.
I don't know. I'm actually working on some Middle English stuff. We could talk about that for a while.
So we're experimenting this week with not having music underneath the.
That's true. Podcast. We have taken away the fun content. we've started talking about Shakespeare, and now there's not even music to distract you. Ordinarily, right now during the Shakespeare discussion, Chris would put on something like Katy Perry to like try to keep you entertained.
But okay, I was going to try to like briefly bring that up by way of getting us to talking about music that we've been listening to or not listening to or whatever. But
next week it's no music and we're going to speak in monotone.
Well, the idea of not doing music underneath is that maybe we can get it out more than once a month.
I think that would be a great idea, Chris. That would be fun. Coming up next, Jeff with the financial report.
Which Jeff, Stander or Dubner?
We'll hire one.
A different Jeff.
Yeah. We don't even have an intern.
I have an intern. My intern started.
You have an intern.
I have an intern. She has even said that she would be willing to come on the show, which would be easier with Google Plus. Now that I think about it, because she's
that's there. Right. Everything's easier with Google Plus.
So we're experimenting with no music, and that's probably good for my wallet because you joke about me putting Katy Perry underneath everything, but there have been certain points at which I'll realize I don't have any new music to put on or anything. I better buy something before I have to mix the next goat. So most recently I went on an Arcade Fire tangent, I guess, binge, if you will. And so if we were doing music underneath, it might just be Arcade Fire the entire time.
Maybe we need to start a pledge drive. I don't know.
A pledge drive to get me more music?
Yeah. We're theoretically making an appearance at PodCamp New Hampshire next month, and maybe we should just get a big change cup and put it right in front of us.
I think so. A tip jar. I'm getting a square. You know the company Square that nobody can see this. But you plug it into the top of your iPhone. Maybe even your Android phone too. Because I think a friend of mine had an Android phone. And he let me try it. You plug it into the top of your iPhone or your Android, and you can accept credit card payments. So if nobody has change, swipe their card.
Nice.
Donate to the fund.
Nice.
I was wondering what the hell I was going to use it for, but now I know. It'll be
pass it around.
Donate to let Chris no longer have to listen to Katy Perry.
That's right.
Have to.
Yeah.
That implies that there's no
desire. That you would actually stop, like a decent person.
So I've been listening to a lot of Arcade Fire. How about you? Anything new?
I'm kind of. I've been really busy. I've been having some car issues. So lately, I actually, after our Neil Gaiman visit, decided to check out the audiobook of Graveyard Book. which he reads, which has been really good. But when I'm not listening to that, I've been listening to the Eliza Finn album that I posted recently, which I really like. And Sonia Cotton, that I mentioned a while ago, just sent me an email saying, you know, she's finished a new record. It's coming out later this year. Do I want to listen to it? It's been really great so far. And then, yeah, I've been rediscovering Last.fm. I've been trying to tweak what it's giving me back, and I've been playing with that. So I found all kinds of things. Oh, and 8-tracks as well. I've been getting lost in people's mixtapes. If I had not been doing car stuff all day Monday, I'll probably do this next week. I was going to post an entry, a mixtape Monday, that was just other people's mixes. I was just going to put up a big collection of them so that people could see what's out there.
Because I dig yours, but I have yet to go sort of really exploring.
Yeah, so I thought I would highlight some of the ones that I tend to come back to. So I've been kind of doing that. It's been kind of an unfocused, you know, kind of couple weeks. I think for a little while I've run the course on the new Bon Iver album. It's a good album.
Yeah.
It's got a bizarro 80s finish, but I think, you know, what else is up there right now?
You know, in terms of bizarro 80s, I checked out, I forget the official title of the album, but The Bird and the Bees tribute to Hall & Oates.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fantastic.
When did Hall & Oates suddenly become popular again?
I don't know.
The other day on Google, on Twitter, Bill Wheaton was going crazy about the fact that he was seeing Hall & Oates, and I was just like... When do we live?
Yeah, I know. No, it's pretty insane that how good that album is.
Oh, it's very strange. And then all of a sudden, I wanted to go download Maneater.
You mean you don't already have a copy?
Oddly enough, no. But I'm sure that when I was a kid, we had like 7 copies of the same Hall & Oates album on vinyl.
Mm.
We had that a lot.
How did that happen? How does that happen?
Yeah. I don't know, but we had multiple copies of that. We had like 4 copies of John Denver's Greatest Hits. I don't know how that happens. You know, and we had some really lousy albums, too. We had any Aerosmith album produced in the 80s, so that was awful to start with. And then we had, you know, like, Van Halen, but not good Van Halen. And just all kinds of strange things. I'm sure we had a whole bunch of Journey of the same thing. And
yeah. I can see more easily as you got into cassettes and even CDs... forgetting that you had something and then buying another copy. But albums were so big and such a presence, it's hard to imagine how you misplaced
them. I think they were cheaper is the thing, you know, by contrast to CDs. But I actually really, really strongly believe in may do it myself, that somebody should build a library thing for music. Because it would be really nice when you're out and about shopping for music to be able to say, do I own this?
You know, right, yeah.
Without making a spreadsheet. So... and I love library thing for books, and I would love to get recommendations based on, you know, a similar mechanism for music.
Yeah. So that would be an interesting, I'm sure that, I mean, like Last.fm is kind of doing that, but only if you've played it.
Right. And then, you know, and also it catalogs just the stuff that they have, you know, given to you to play. So not necessarily stuff that you own.
Yeah. So that's music. What about TV? I haven't been watching much TV.
A bunch of TV shows started up again this week on Sci-Fi. I watch Eureka and Warehouse 13, and those started again. Mm-hmm. And starting next week, I guess, there'll be a long story arc with Will Wheaton and Felicia Day on Eureka. So
wow,
that's a reason to check it out.
That's a reason to check it out.
It's a pretty easy show to pick up in the middle. You know, actually, the major story arcs of the first season and a half are largely extinct now. So there's that. And it's usually pretty easy to get a recap. I think iTunes has one of those, like, 10-minute recap videos, you know, that they used to do for Lost. So I'm watching those, and they premiered a new show called Alphas, which... is basically Heroes. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sure that you guys worked really hard on the show, but basically there's... I mean, the only difference is that there's a team.
Right.
And there's a bunch of people who've developed strange abilities, like super strength, or the ability to manipulate people, or incredible aim with a gun. And they've all been cobbled together by this... guy who's a psychiatrist / researcher type who has found them all, and they work together kind of sort of in concert with the government, kind of sort of on their own to fix problems.
Right.
And of course there are bad ones out there too, and it's basically Heroes, except it doesn't have a comic book angle to it. So first episode was okay, but it was kind of like, really? Stargate was just getting good and you canceled it for this?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It's always a rough thing when one of your shows goes away and then you have to confront the thing that replaced it. Very often, it's nowhere. The new thing stands no chance of ever really capturing.
But we'll see. I mean, clearly they're trying because they put it between their two most popular shows, which is Eureka and Warehouse 13. In terms of ratings, those are their best scripted dramas. I think wrestling is still the biggest thing on the Sci-Fi Channel, but
which is ridiculous.
Yeah. So clearly they're hoping people will stick around through the show. So.
No.
We'll see, but
In the time that I've not, well, I had been watching Game of Thrones, but we were meant to meet up at some point, and we still will, and I'll bring a DVD or something, and we can talk about it. So I had been watching Game of Thrones, but now that we're in the lead up to the final Harry Potter movie, most of my video watching has been of hype surrounding that, and trailers and featurettes and watching all of those things over and over and over again. And I said something very strange to my wife now. I didn't think it was strange then, but I think it's very strange in hindsight, that I did not want to watch the movies in advance because I wanted to be sort of salivating for the new movie. In the same way that we used to, when we went to concerts, try to not listen to a band for a little while before we went to the concert.
It's kind of a rule.
Yeah. So I said that to her, but I've been watching every trailer and clip and featurette I can get my hands on. So it doesn't really work.
Yeah. I don't know. I did finally on Netflix watch the first half of Shouting Intense. So I'm looking forward, I guess, to the second part, but be perfectly honest with you, I thought the series had a terrible ending. I was really disappointed by the fact that, spoiler alert, everyone, back
for
away
a book
from the computer right now. If you
for a book that came out 3 or 4 years ago.
The fact that it was like, it's either Harry or Voldemort. That's it. One or the other. One must die. Or Neville could just take care of it. Yeah, Neville got it. No problem. Neville wrapped it all up for us. Good job, Neville. Oh, and Harry Potter died, but he didn't. Wow. I mean, wow. Luke or Vader. One of them has to go. And yeah, Vader has a change of heart, but he still dies. You know, in the end, it was just like, I don't want to kill anyone except Voldemort, so I won't, you know, just kill me. I was really annoyed. And yeah, it's a great moment for Neville, but...
Well, Neville only kills the snake.
I just, you know, but the fact that he could intervene and save the day, it was just like,
Yeah.
But killing the snake makes Voldemort weak, and then Voldemort, whatever.
Right. I mean, I think I enjoy the final book, but I think if it has a weakness, it's the pacing of that ending.
Yeah.
I want
consequences, damn it. I just wanted consequences.
Yeah. And also the it's the pacing.
You're right. It takes forever. They wander around in Godric's Hollow for God knows how long, and there's 200 pages and they're still in a tent.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think, I feel like the film of the first half did a pretty good job of condensing. I mean, you know, you can't take all of that out. Otherwise, you're not really adapting the book. You know,
you have to move the dialogue somewhere else.
Yeah, so I think they do a fairly good job. They get them out of the tent. There are sort of three or four scenes that are in the tent, but then there's a lot of... you know, them walking, like, you know, you could criticize it for the same way Kevin Smith criticized The Lord of the Rings, you know.
Or, for God's sake, the Robert Jordan books. I mean, The Wheel of Time, sorry, this is a tangent, but related. I mean, the first three books are so good.
Yeah.
The next three are kind of okay. But between 7 and 11, there are two whole books where they're just walking. I mean, there are literally two whole books of them walking across the land.
Yeah.
What the hell? I mean, seriously, I stopped reading at book 10 because at the end of the book, the people were still walking and they had started the book walking.
Right.
And on the way, all they did was kind of talk about stuff they were going to do eventually when they got somewhere.
Yeah.
What? That's...
Stephanie likes those books, and she's been rereading them and trying to get ready for the other one, for the final couple that are coming out. But I haven't gone near them.
The first three are really good, and they have so much promise. But then, you know, Robert Jordan got sick, and he got delusions of grandeur.
Right.
And instead of just writing good fantasy novels, he just started stringing it out. And then he got sick, and he couldn't do that very well anymore. So there are these books that just plod along, and it's very sad that he died before he could finish, but you know, I think anybody would die before they could finish at the pace those books were moving. I don't know, you're right, the pacing of book 7 in the Harry Potter series is just you know, and I felt that way about 5 and 6, honestly. It was just, there was a lot of nonsensical, non-necessary kind of, you know.
Definitely feel that way about 5. I don't feel that way about 6 as strongly. I really enjoyed 6.
But... 6 was better than 5, but I mean, for me personally, like, my favorite, I think, is still 3. It's the best movie and it's the best book.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's the most well-plotted book.
Yeah.
Everything comes together in the end. There's mystery to it. There's just about everything that you could want.
There's a mystery. It actually builds suspense, but it's not too long.
Yeah.
It's got an interesting ending, and I really like the look of that movie as well.
Now, when you get to the films, that's where things sort of take an interesting turn for me in terms of favorites, and I want to eventually get to why I think the final film will solve some problems with the book. But, like, 3 definitely stands out as the best movie. But then... Book 5, I really hate book 5, but the 5th movie I kind of really like. So the 5th and 6th movies, aside from the ending of 6, which feels very rushed.
Yeah, it felt like an afterthought. Like, oh yeah, we're going to kill Dumbledore. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's the ending of 6 feels very rushed. But like maybe 3, 5, 6, 4, 3, 5, 6, 7, 4, 1, 2, and we'll see where 8 comes.
Or 8.
So I think when it comes to the, when it comes to the 8th film, or part 2 of number 7, whatever, but we'll just call it the 8th film.
It's the 8th film.
What I've seen of it, and what I understand of how it works, makes me think that they have, expanded the ending in a way that will allow everything that happens, including some of the rushed stuff, to happen a little bit slower, and work in the tangents, you know, the platform scene where Harry's dead but not dead,
right.
The Snape's worst Snape's memory scene. I think they've got... It sounds as though you're going to get an opening sequence of them going into Gringotts, and then very quickly get them to Hogwarts, and that most of the film is going to be the Hogwarts part.
Well, we can hope, but, you know, I mean, can we just please move on to The Hobbit already, for God's sake? I mean, good Lord.
Oh, I see, and I haven't read Tolkien, but I look at the...
That is a very different experience than watching the films. Yes. That's true.
I read something the other day about whether or not you can... It was a podcast. They were talking about whether or not you can really appreciate them on the same level as you could when they originally came out. And I forget what conclusion they came to.
It's tough, I think, because so much fantasy is derivative of Tolkien.
Right.
So when you read it, if you've never experienced it, it's kind of like, oh, this is just like everything else. And you have to kind of stop for a moment and say, well no.
No, everything else is like this.
Yeah. You know, I mean, which is just not to say that there's no innovation in fantasy fiction, but there are a lot of people, I'm looking at you, George R. R. Martin, or Robert Jordan, or Terry Brooks, or people like that who, you know, would like to be the next Tolkien, and so they try to do what he did but bigger, and it's really hard to do that when the dude invented a bunch of languages and then worked really hard at them and, you know, created these enormous mythological, you know, structures. But, you know, every now and again.
But I have you seen the latest production diary for
I got very excited.
Just the helicopter shot. I mean, I got excited about the whole thing, but the helicopter shots of them scouting New Zealand for scenes was just...
I'm really excited. Yeah.
You know, I haven't read anything, but I do have very fond memories of the... Not the Lord of the Rings animated movie, because I remember that being terrible. But the... very fond memories of the Hobbit animated film. And seeing some of those locations and...
Yeah.
Thinking, wow, that's going to be cool, and
I think it's going to be pretty great. I'm pretty excited.
So, they've also been releasing lots of images of the dwarves, which has been very cool. Because it's not that everyone looked like Gimli in Lord of the Rings, but everyone was pretty similar, and now they've really changed up the looks of some of these dwarves.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome, and it's probably going to be all I'm going to want to talk about next year. So just throwing that out there, generation.
That's all right. I mean, you know, the first 2 years, like, we're up to episode 23 right now, but like for like a year and a half, all we talked about was Lost.
Yeah. You know?
So we can do 6 months, a year, 9 months, 12 months, however long of The Hobbit, you know, a segment every week on
what. By the way, spoiler, Vincent was the smoke monster. Starting out. That's why he's never around.
Vincent was the smoke monster. All right.
Done.
Yeah, we never did wrap up Lost, so there you go.
Yeah, that was it. That's all you need to know. I mean, that really explains just about everything you need to know.
So, that's what's going on, right?
Yeah, I guess at some point we should, you know, we'll do another one of these before PodCamp, and we'll talk about what we're up to once we have an idea what we're up to and who we're doing it with.
There are actually some other podcasting sessions this year as well, so we're not on the hook for being the only podcasting session at a thing called PodCamp.
So are they going to be better than us?
They'll be covering other things than us.
Should we fight them?
We could. There's an idea.
We could challenge them to a podcast off.
Yeah, with multiple Google Plus cameras going, so that people can see from different angles.
That'd be kind of funny, actually, to see like what would happen if you tried to simultaneously podcast.
Simultaneously
podcast in the same room.
That would be.
It'd be entertaining.
It would be entertaining.
But okay, all right. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much everything that's going on. People who use the Generation Goat website, like all two of you,
yes,
will notice that I have I've changed it up a little bit. It looks a little bit different. I'm using the new default WordPress 2011 theme, and I like it. I think it's quick. It's HTML5 friendly, so I'm pretty happy with it. The site loads in what seems to be less than half the time that it loaded previously, so hurrah for that. So let us know what you think, if you feel like it. And I'll probably have some updates eventually soon, about those mysterious projects that Chris and I are talking about doing through Google Plus. So go sign up for Google Plus or hit somebody up for an invite.
Yeah, hit us up. I know that as of yesterday, I still was able to invite people. So
yeah, I think we're pretty much perpetually just going to be able to now. So
that's cool.
Let us know. We'll get you in there.
Yeah, and then, you know, you'll understand what we geeked out about for half the show.
That's right. Yeah, so let us know. Chris, is your email on your site?
You might be. ecc1977@gmail.com. I'm pretty much ecc1977 everywhere.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Chris, that's where you at. All right, everybody. Thanks for goating along at home.
Thanks for goating.
Go read your Shakespeare. Waiting.
Oh, she's sitting with you.